B-Pod Studios.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
What do I?
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's a telephone number for you. Jake is in Boston today, and he says has something on Cam Newton today. What's up, Jake?
Oh. Hi, boys. Well, first of all, to parlay what you were saying last hour, are you saying that the Patriots may not do their research?
Yes, that is what I'm suggesting.
The organization that just promoted another product of nepotism, Al Groh's kid, to director of college scouting. We may trash the nerds over on Yawkey Way, Beetle, but this franchise needs someone who knows how to file a FOIA request, can use LexisNexis, can ping some phones and IP addresses. They need nerds of their own down there in the scouting department who could do the due diligence on the background check of these kids. It's amazing that Chris Greer is down in Miami wiping your tail when his dad couldn't do the same 30 years ago, and the Patriots are running into those same old person Greer problems with their ancient GM. And second, as much as I want to talk about Mac, who was out last night, still needs a diet, and Cam, there was a story on Boston.com that may signal why Cam is still here.
Oh.
And it's about our future president, David Portnoy, and his war with Nantucket Magazine. You know the backstory by now.
Sure,
business hero gets the woke swine yada. Well, if you dig into that story, look who tried to play peacemaker in the Real Housewives battle between El Prez and the publisher. None other than the Real Housewife of Nantucket herself, Linda Holliday.
I have the story of now.
What's wrong
with that?
What's wrong with
Cam?
So what? If you know both, they're both very friendly with each.
Because Linda Holliday's objective here with the football club and with her Nantucket life and with Cam was never about the football.
What's Cam got to do with it?
It was about appeasing her Nantucket neighbors last summer. It was about
trouble on the island.
Happy.
You don't want
that.
Is anyone else following this?
I don't know. I want to know. Get to the
I'm
Cam
having
Newton.
A hard time
get
following
Cam
how this has anything to do with Cam.
I tapped
get
out.
To the Cam Newton part.
She loved parading around Cam Newton as her little woke diversity play in Nantucket last summer.
Cam Newton went to Nantucket? Hold on. Cam Newton went to Nantucket with her?
No, she loved bragging about it just like this.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Get out of here, Dad.
Get lost. Come on, Jake.
I thought you had something. Like you went to the Daffodil Festival.
I thought you had a good story about it.
She went to Nantucket Stroll.
She took Cam scarf shopping.
Yeah.
Or whatever that means.
Nice
what's Main Street in Nantucket there?
Oh, my God.
What's that area called? I don't know. Not an island
Main
guy.
Right.
Hashtag regular guy.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. She did try to play Peacemaker.
Maybe she took him to a hat store there. Nice hat stores. Why wouldn't she play Peacemaker there?
Portnoy said he received an email from Linda Holliday, longtime girlfriend of Bill Belichick, hoping to mend fences between himself and Percolay.
Yeah, called him a spineless jellyfish.
Portnoy said that he declined. I'm vain and I like being on the cover, but they're gutless jellyfish and they know it, he said. They are. Did you see that statement?
Oh
my God.
Yep. They had to apologize. They issued an apology to some of the readers who were so offended that Dave was featured in a spread.
But it was a legitimate, we are so sorry for all the pain and suffering we caused. The statement was absurd. The statement was absolutely absurd. And Portnoy has now threatened to buy the magazine and put it out of business.
That's great.
What would be the fun in that? You should buy the magazine and become the publisher. That's where the fun would be. Back to the Barstool print edition.
It's like Deadspin with him now.
Okay.
Now you're on the radar.
That's what we need. We need the print edition back.
I saw Felger had an actual newspaper in his hand yesterday. He's holding it up and flipping through it. Like, hey, kids, come here. Look at this. What is that? That's a newspaper. Hardy, do your kids know what a newspaper is? Like, you're probably the guy that gets a Sunday afternoon.
We do not get...
You don't get the Sunday paper?
No. We always get a Sunday paper. But, it's only been a few months since stopped, like, home delivery. Like, we used to get the newspaper every day for as long as they've been alive and before. Yeah.
Wow.
You don't often read newspapers?
I love the Sunday paper. That's like... It's the only thing time I actually read a paper.
Oh, where do you get your news during the week?
Oh, online. Watch TV.
What? Which websites?
Just go to herald.com. Boston. Boston Globe.
Yeah. You have a Fox online News. Subscription. Yeah. You have an online subscription to Boston Globe.
No, oh, I don't. So
you don't go there.
No, not really.
Okay.
So my suggestion was about
CNN. Like, you get them all.
Preparing for the draft, that the Patriots have failed to do their due diligence possibly
but,
in the past.
If
that they maybe could have done more in the past than they did.
Okay.
Or
so he got bad intel then from Urban Meyer. All these kids are Florida kids, the bad kids, right?
I've always maintained that the Patriots could not have seen what was happening with Aaron Hernandez, that they could not have foreseen
that
event
manifested itself
playing out the way that it did.
Right.
However, there were enough red flags that they should have had more concern about, should we have this player, should we draft this player?
Well, there were signs. Yeah.
And it didn't feel like they did have those. They didn't have that pause because of Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer was the guy that took away them having that pause for an organization that often will say publicly how they pride themselves on good people. You know, you hear that phone call where Robert Kraft is telling Mac Jones about his 4.0 at Alabama.
Sure.
Like,
love
that
it.
Means anything to anybody.
No, they're business people. They're smart people. Well-schooled.
Well, I'll tell you what. It wouldn't take much to get the 4.0 at Alabama for anybody, you know, in their front office.
Still
seriously.
Did it. Yeah.
Send anybody down there, whether they're somebody's kid or not. All right? You send Groh's kid, Lombardi's kid, any of those kids, all the nepotism kids would all still go get 4.0s at Alabama. So Mac Jones comes in with his 4.0. Congratulations. Why do I care about that? I don't care about that, but they pride themselves on the we have good people too. Well, Aaron Hernandez was about as bad of a guy as you can find. And they didn't pause and stop themselves from drafting him because of the relationship
with Urban Meyer.
With Urban Meyer. And here again, there
Urban
is a
Meyer
guy.
Urban Meyer told you I'm a liar. Yeah, I protected those kids.
Who has slid down the board for some reason, right? For some reason, he has slid down the board. There are concerns about him, maybe on and off the field.
Yeah.
And there was apparently no pause. In fact, there was an aggressive play. The Patriots moved up and took him.
Yeah. I think the value there for that kid, and I don't think Nick would screw Bill over on this one. Like, I'm not handing you a bad seat here. Yeah, there was an issue, and yeah, we got past it or whatever.
They were blinded by value, as they were with Hernandez. Value is important,
too.
So what
do you think, Nick? I think you pick up the phone, you talk to Nick. I think he trusts Nick more than he would Urban, even though Urban was giving him bad intel at the time.
Here's what Warren Sapp said, by the way, last month in speaking. Actually, this is now the end of March. At the end of March, he went on a podcast with a Buccaneers website, and Warren Sapp actually had a chance to work out. And by the way, Warren Sapp has certainly had his fair share of issues. Warren Sapp talked about a chance to work with Barmore and what his impressions of Barmore were.
We'll try it one more time. Christian Barmore from Alabama.
Christian Barmore, what's the book on him? What are they saying?
Yeah, the first round, first defensive tackle off the board, 8 sacks, 3 forced fumbles last year, basically a 2-year guy at Alabama.
That first round guy?
Yes, that's what a lot of the mock drafts say.
Let's wait for the evaluation, because what I saw when I went over there to Yo Murphy Performance Center was not even third round material.
Really? And you had a chance to meet the kid and spend some time with him?
Oh, no. A chance to get him on the football field and walk him through the 5 steps to the quarterback. And if they're telling me that this is the first round guy, then Aaron Donald did get blocked 70% of the time in a double team.
So you're not a big Barmore fan?
I just promise you this. If these eyes right here that you're looking at is telling you a lie about talent, then shoot me. I won't talk no more football. If this kid's a perfect pick, I won't talk football.
What didn't you like about his game? And then we'll move on to other guys.
I won't make a tweet or Instagram post unless it's the kids, you know, playing sports. Nothing personal.
Right.
I'll take off a whole year if Barmore is a first-round pick.
Wow. Okay.
I will quit talking football for a full year if that guy goes in the first round.
He's almost the first. What do you want, 38?
How did he say he's not even a third-round guy, or he is a third-round guy?
Not even
not even a third-round guy. And he worked him out. The name of the place is Yo Murphy Performance in Tampa.
So he worked him out in
T-shirt
and shorts and sneakers. And you get there and you can say, okay, this kid looks lazy, he looks slow, he looks fat, whatever it might be. He looks out of shape. Did he watch any of the film? Did he talk about any of the games? Hey, I did this with Justin Herbert a year ago. Like, I watched combine. Oh, he's going to be a bust. This guy's going to be a bust. I was wrong. You miss it. Sometimes you miss it on a guy. You watch a guy in T-shirt and shorts.
Here's another quote.
It looks different than it does in film.
Another quote from the podcast. He said, on analysts ranking Barmore higher, he said, I guarantee you they are ranking him high because what you look at as a scout is the eye test on the tape.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the national championship, and I thought that kid was a baller myself. I couldn't wait to get up to Tampa to work him out. And then he got there and he didn't like what he saw. Because he said what he saw on tape was terrific. What he saw in person was not terrific.
And that could be
not even third round material.
That's the thing, too.
Not even third round material.
Some guys like, I'm just a gamer. I'll show up for the games. Yeah, but rest of the week, I'm a lazy, you know, sack of, you know what? Not just do anything. I'm just going to get through, punch my card.
Do those players excel?
Not normally, but some are just so blessed with that talent that you have a lot of these guys on a lot of rosters like that. And you'll see it. You'll get around guys like some guys got to bust their ass and
you know,
work out every day.
As I said about the Patriots on night one, they chose to play checkers for a night.
Yeah.
On night two, they went right back to playing chess. They're smarter than everybody. They took Christian Barmore. When everybody else said no, they said yes. Let's just remember that as his career continues.
Well, we'll watch.
Begins.
Yep.
Cody in the car. Hey, Cody.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, hey. I've been listening. I just feel like we're getting all worried about Barmore and his past. But in the Bedard interview the other day, he did assure everybody that it wasn't violence that was the problem. And secondly, I think with newspapers nowadays, there are things that will make headlines that wouldn't make headlines 10 years ago. So I just think those are some things we need to consider with the sensationalism of the story around Barmore. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. Okay, Cody, I think you're right. You know, I think that Bedard, when he says it would make news, I think it would make news in a football sense. That's how I took that clip. That it would be, you know, it'd be a headline on Pro Football Talk. It wouldn't be, you know, on the ABC Nightly News type of headline. I don't think that's what he was talking about.
That's scorching commentary.
Yeah, I still think it would be a sports section story and not a news section story. And apparently he said the other day on Felger Mass that it was not violence. I did not catch the entire 2 hours, but what?
If it's not like right away you go to like, okay, something bad happened, like violent. You think violence, right? Yeah, involved in something. But like what would garner headlines?
Yeah,
if you're talking about a football player with questionable past, and you're saying if I put this out there, there'd be headlines, national news. Like
something that would make headlines today wouldn't tell you what
he's a speeding ticket.
He's an anti-masker. What? I mean, you know what is it that's so horrific that wouldn't have made headlines 10 years
DUI?
Ago? That's not violence.
He's a flat earther.
Yeah.
And Kyrie, you know what?
He believes in aliens.
Like he's Kyrie Irving,
he's a
fan.
UFO and Bigfoot guy.
Moon landing denier.
Yeah.
He's like Kyrie.
Yeah.
Steph Curry.
It's got to be what it is. Later this hour at 11:50, we're giving away a pair of tickets for you to see Genesis at TD Garden. Again, that's at 11:50. Could the Patriots use another wideout? Zoe and I have said yes, they certainly can. Phil Perry's provided a number of options for us to consider. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You want to talk sports in Boston, you talk to these guys.
That will not be a recycled take.
Right, but it's a retake. It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. You're on Zolak and Bertrand.
On the Hub.
On the Hub.
We work at the Hub, which is next to the Beat. That's going to be the name of that thing next door, the Beat. It's pretty simple. Looks nice over there, though. A lot of space. A lot of space. Put a new studio. That's nice. I like that. Restaurants. Retail. Put like a Chick-fil-A in there. Maybe like a Golden Panda. Not Golden Panda. What's the name of that? Yeah. Right?
Panda Express. What you're thinking of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Phil Perry writes in NBCSportsBoston.com that the Patriots need to add a receiver. We agree. We've been talking about this in recent days. Here are the options, and you tell me if there's anything you like here on the list.
Okay.
Golden Tate.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Old.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Good possession guy. I mean, like, but you got a couple of those.
He says that Tate could give them a little something different on the inside.
Mm.
He's built more like Julian Edelman and would provide a little something to the offense.
You know what he has to? I mean, he's a pro. I think he's going to have a better knack for reading coverage, understanding how coverage changes his mid-route, where I need to break something off, where I need to go. I think he's a pretty good pro. But, I mean, we've done the Golden Tate thing over and over for how many years now? And he's down the road.
How about this? Jamison Crowder, New York Jets receiver. He says this is one player who seems destined to move on. It's a bit of a surprise he hasn't already, to be honest. Over the weekend, Jets used a second-round pick on a slot guy, Elijah Moore. Who looked like he could be a great fit for the Patriots. Is there a chance that Moore ending up with the Jets could end up making Jamison Crowder available? The Jets could save over $10 million against their cap by releasing Crowder, so it would come as little surprise if he became an option for the Patriots. Okay, I'm not against that one.
I'm not either.
But I don't think that really solves exactly. I mean, I think they'd be a much better team by adding him.
I think you're getting another like Aguilar type.
Well, Aguilar would be your guy, your threat on the outside.
Yeah.
I just wish.
I think you need slot help. You need slot help.
They do. So Jamison Crowder's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. If he becomes available, I'd love to see them get him. I don't know that he gives them a fast receiver. They need someone who's fast. They need some speed.
Yeah, I go back to the Reese stuff. That's interesting. Reese wrote that over the weekend.
And by the way, they don't need the guy to be out there every snap either. Right. They just need a guy who's capable.
This was supposed to be a deep draft for receivers, too.
How fast is Jacoby Myers?
He's not fast at all.
Okay. He's never seen.
He's like a 4.8 guy, 4.7.
Okay, no, he's not fast. Is there anyone that he'd build into this role? They don't have anybody who's fast.
Olszewski is like the only, like the body size and from a quickness standpoint, Gunnar Olszewski is the only guy that fits that mold inside. I mean, that's what I've been taught over the last 20 years. You know, it's the Welkers, the Edelmans, the Troy Browns, you know, the Danny Amendolas. It's Olszewski.
Last year, Jakeem Grant had 36 catches for 373 yards for the Dolphins. If he were to become available, would you be interested?
I'd say no, because we've done the Dolphins, receiver route here, and it didn't work out.
Pass. Yeah. He said, did someone say undersized speed element? The Cardinals just drafted one in the second round, Purdue's Rondale Moore, meaning Arizona receiver and former UMass star Andy Isabella.
Let's go.
Another diminutive fast guy. Mm. He runs a 4.31.
That guy would fit the mold.
Yeah. Could become free sooner rather than later.
And you have a pretty good relationship with their GM. So.
No, Isabella did not play the slot in college. He has played it in Arizona.
Too bad.
But
you play the slot here.
Yeah, exactly. He's in the NFL. I mean,
make
if you want to make the transition, you've got to make it work.
Yeah,
you
want a career? You make it work. Yeah.
That's what he's done in Arizona, but I think he struggled a little bit with it. I think that's why he's not on the field. He's got work. He's got development that needs to happen.
I mean, hey, it didn't happen initially with Julian. It took him 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's real.
He'd be a good project for this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been pounding that drum now for months.
I like that more so than Crowder based on the money and sort of where you fit in.
Yeah, you know what, though? Crowder would help you right away.
Crowder's a better player.
Crowder's a better player and would help you right away.
Right. But you know how they would look at it.
He's not a good value?
Yeah.
You might actually have to pay him some money.
Right.
Whereas Andy Isabella, you don't.
Bingo.
Okay. So there's a couple of things
I'm talking
about
realistic.
There.
Like Andy Isabella is more realistic than Crowder here, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of value.
Because of the way they work, yeah.
Crowder would be great, though. Be a great addition.
He would.
I would agree. I think they should do something on that front.
Need some help, right? You got a first-round quarterback now.
I mean, we've been in this spot before.
You got a thrower.
Do we legitimately think they're going to add at the receiver position?
No.
I don't think they are either. I don't think they're going to do a damn thing.
No, they're going to give N'Keal Harry another chance.
We can talk about this once a week. We can give you all the names. We can watch veterans potentially get cut by other teams.
Yeah, and
nothing will happen if I had to put money on it.
I try to wish and think that, like, hey, maybe Josh could get N'Keal on the move, you know, so to speak, back him off the line of scrimmage, put him in motion, sort of become that H-back type player, because I think he does have some power to him. But the problem is the ability to separate on that quick stuff. I just don't know if he can win in a tight space like that. Like, you've got to get him into route and get him going on a crosser. That's where he was effective, you know. Or flip him the ball, hand him the ball. You had to get creative with him his rookie year.
Mm-hmm. So. There is a story that has now become a bigger story in the last day in the NFL.
Oh, Barmore?
No, not Barmore. Juwan James suffering a significant, potentially season-ending injury while he was working out at a private gym.
It's awful.
The NFL Management Council has sent a memo to all teams. Mr. James's $10 million salary for the 2021 season was fully guaranteed for skill, injury, and cap purposes. Several clubs have inquired about the contractual implications resulting from the fact that Mr. James sustained this season-ending injury while training away from the Broncos facility. Injuries sustained while a player is working out on his own in a location other than an NFL facility are considered non-football injuries
NFI.
And are outside the scope of a typical skill injury and cap guarantee. Such injuries are also not covered by the protections found in the NFL player contract, meaning that clubs have no contractual obligation to provide salary continuation during the year in which the injury was sustained. The NFL sent a memo to every team in the league following this injury this week saying the Broncos don't owe him a dime, and you wouldn't owe your players a dime if they get hurt outside of the facility either. If you're a player, what are you doing right now?
Not working out away
shutting
from the facility.
It down.
Worry about doing anything that I do. Like, should I really attempt to max out at Planet Fitness as I'm sitting there benching, having Joe Schmo spot me over there, who's like the He-Man, staring at himself in the mirror. Now all of a sudden, I'm not going to do a max out there because I don't want to pop a pec. I've seen these injuries happen on bench presses, you know, while we're working out. You know, team sanctioned workouts, and boom, and you're on IR for the year.
Or at the very least, hopefully it's an injury that you can hide long enough to drive yourself to the stadium, get into the weight room,
and lay down on the bench floor.
Oh, God, what happened?
Right.
Oh, my arm.
Ah! Look at this. What'd you do? It's not doing anything now.
Oh, my leg. I got hurt at work. So that's a problem. That's a bit of an issue.
It's a bit of a problem, too, if you're a player that the league went ahead and sent it to every team. Just be like, hey, just so you know, this goes for everybody. Well, we're not just talking about this one guy and this one team and sharing this this little reminder with them. We're going to remind everybody, every team, you don't have to pay him if they get hurt away from work.
Well, I also think it's part of the pushing back against the Players Association.
Yeah, because the Players Association wants what? The same type of virtual offseason
that
you had last
year. They don't want to go to
the facilities. Right. Guys want to work out on their own, have their private coaches.
And they're going to use this guy's $10 million to make a point. We're not paying you. You're not getting a dime. That's a non-football injury. Too bad.
Nuffy.
Well, if I were an NFL player right now, I'd say, well, I can't work out. Sorry. Can't do it.
Just better get your ass into the stadium.
Going to have to wait for training camp.
I know you have the option. These are optional workouts, but you should probably show up. Work out with your teammates.
Hardy has headlines. We've got a baseball segment for you. Update on a couple of things. What's been happening in baseball?
So Milliken losing his mind.
Yeah, where is Milliken?
He's been quiet lately. Milliken, he's kind of been off the radar.
Milliken had a rough night.
Let's put him back on the radar.
As did Franchi Cordero. That's coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And a left-hander to work. First one on the way to Jones. Line shot, base hit. Just sitting on that. Runner's going to be waved in as it's mishandled by Cordero. And a run scored. He was not going to try and come in to score. And this game is 1-1.
Things have gotten a little tighter in the AL East, if you haven't noticed.
Well, good news for the Red Sox. They've sort of been off the radar here with the NFL draft and the excitement over drafting Mac Jones, the Jimmy Garoppolo stuff.
Yeah.
Bruins and Celtics getting geared up for the playoffs. And we said this a couple weeks ago when we did a lot of baseball. You know, to come out flying on baseball. The Red Sox were hot. Eventually, it's going to find water, right? Water's going to find its level. So they're 18-13. They're 500 club at home, 9-9.
Does that concern you at all?
Yeah, Fenway
should be better at home.
Should be better at home. That's your ballpark.
They're not as good at home as they should be.
You're a disaster defensively in left field.
They have a 1.5 game lead on the Yankees and Rays.
Boy, where'd the Yankees
come from? The Blue Jays are only 2 games back.
The Orioles, hit the ball, huh?
The Orioles are 3 games back.
Huh. I don't see Carrabas yapping at the Yankee fans like he was 2-3 weeks ago.
Now, it's nice to be on May 6th leading the division. That's a good place to be.
Sure it is.
But based on the Nerds doing their, you know, getting the calculator out. Yeah, they got it at 51% of the Red. That's right. The chance the Red Sox have of making the playoffs. So 1% better than 50-50.
It's a 51-49. We were having fun with the World Series odds back in the day. Remember, like that to sort of jumpstart things 2 weeks in? People are like geared up. Yeah, we said, let's check in. What? About a month. You get a good month of baseball. And I said, really? It's Memorial Day. Memorial Day, you got a really good sampling as to. You head into the summer months and approach that trade deadline. You're going to add an arm. What are you going to do? It's kind of leveled out for them. It's quiet. It's quiet right now. They're a quiet team right now. You are what you are. We said this 2 weeks ago. They're happy. They're probably ecstatic to be sitting in the position that they were sitting in. Like, nobody expected them to come out of the gates like that. And sort of that rebuilding type year, build the team, do it the way Haim wants to do it. And well, here you are. Now the other teams are starting to get hot.
Well, let's talk about something with Haim Bloom, and that would be his trade of Andrew Benintendi to acquire Franchi Cordero, who you just heard in that highlight last
Milliken's
night
guy.
As he booted a ball in left field. Franchi Cordero is now batting .153 on the season, 0 for his last 24 with 9 strikeouts in that stretch.
That's not good.
His last hit came on April 19th. His strikeout rate in the major leagues prior to being here in Boston was 34.9%. It's now at 40.6%. In fact, before last night's game, it was closer to 42%, but he got a couple of plate appearances or a couple of at-bats in there. It's based on plate appearances. But he got plate appearances last night, and he didn't strike out. He didn't get a hit, but he didn't strike out. He didn't walk either.
Right.
Therefore, the percentage actually got better for him. He's got 26 strikeouts on the year. He clearly does not look at all like a guy who belongs on a major league team. Never mind a team that is in first place in their division. Haim Bloom on Tuesday said this: "To swing and miss and strike out at this rate is obviously more than we expected. I think the way it has been the last few weeks, it's very hard to be productive doing that. We know that's part of his game."
Oh, wait, whoa.
Oh, this
I don't like that. I don't like that last part.
Oh, this is part of his game. I'm sorry. What?
That's how he do.
That's how he operates.
That's
part of his game.
That's how he roll.
Usually you don't say, well, strikeouts are a part of his game. That's a weird thing. He says there were reasons last summer to think he had advanced. In his two-strike approach, We still think he put some things into play last summer that are reproducible. That's an interesting way of phrasing that.
He gone.
He can carry forward. We know it's going to be a part of his game. There he goes again. Well, with this, it's part of his game.
Yeah, understand that, people. Like, we see it, you don't.
There are players.
Get a new game.
He says.
What?
He says.
Get a new game.
There are players who strike out and can still be productive. Well, not at the same time, Haim. He says over the last few weeks, he has been in a rut at a higher pace than is sustainable, and we need to help him get him get it back under control so he can get to his power. Haim, he sucks. He's not a good baseball player. What? Why do you have to sell us on this idea that somehow Willie Mo Pena is going to be a good player? Stop doing this. Stop. This is obnoxious. To defend the player and say that there were things they saw last summer that have them feeling good about him right now hitting a .153, it's obnoxious. Do you know what he batted last year? .211. We really hope he can get back to being that .211 hitter. That's really what we want. It's really what we're looking for. If he could just be .211 again, we'd really be happy with that.
It's
we need to reproduce that.
Poor Tyler Milliken. Like, I would love to sit there and watch, like, the roller coaster ride that this kid's on throughout each individual game. The capital letters, the non-caps, capital letters. Exactly 13 hours ago, Franchy Cordero shows some life. Hashtag dirty water.
Franchy Cordero blows, Milliken. Sorry. He blows. He's not good.
Pain.
You got
pain.
The email from Jeff and Southie?
No. No, I do not. What's that say?
This was sent to me and you. I'm generally a fan of Tyler, and I think he's a good addition to the show with one exception.
He's a wonderful addition to the show.
He's outstanding.
Wonderful. We wish we could get him around on these days to talk Franchy with him.
His unabashed tire pumping of Franchy Cordero must stop now. I don't want to hear how he fits the team or is a net positive or is what he is or plays the better defense than Benintendi. I won't come at him with stats because, frankly, I know he could bury me in that arena. So I'll just say this. He sucks, all caps. Anybody who has watched the majority of his play this year without their view being obstructed by a calculator would say the same.
Love it.
At this point in time, Tyler needs to recant on his pro-Franchy comments.
Yep.
Anything else would be a tasteless act tantamount to spray painting nipples on the Lincoln Memorial. All that said, still like Tyler and hoping for his future success. Best, Jeff and South.
But it is a dereliction of his duties.
Right. I took back my Tom Wilson take today. I was wrong. Sometimes you got a bad take. He's got a bad take on Franchy.
That's 2 days in a row. By the way, Beetle, how is dereliction of duty not the title of a somewhat military-inspired 90s
video
flick?
Video game.
No, or video game 90s
not
movie.
Call of Duty.
Kind of action.
A movie would make sense. Like, dereliction of duty.
Yes, dishonorably discharged, but then goes back into the fight to save another fallen comrade, something. How did that not happen? Too wordy?
Maybe
we need to make that movie.
McTakey was even calling McMillican.
Make it about
night.
Tyler and come to find out that Tyler is actually some kind of an undercover like special special teams op, and he's here just as part of his cover story.
I love that email. Nerd, take your stats and stick them in your ear. I know you can run circles around me.
I don't need a calculator. And you know what? I've probably done too much by giving you the stats on him. Because of how bad he's been? Why do we even need the stats? Watch him play.
Well, you didn't see the last couple of strikeouts. I mean, beads of his abacus were blocking his view of his television.
Look, how's the eye test working on Franchy Cordero, Haim? Stop telling me about what's reproducible from his two-strike approach to you. Look at the player. Tell me what you think when you watch that player.
I think if he connected on some of those
on your team,
some of those swings that he's striking out on, he would refind his power. It just has the badass to hit the ball on those swings. It's pretty simple.
I find Haim Bloom to be maddening already. I'm already out. I was all for his hiring, and now I'm already out on him. Oh, it's part of his game. Guys, it's part of his game.
Deal with it.
Just get used to it. Coming up next, we're giving away tickets for you to see Genesis. Don't miss the giveaway.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
It's gotta be the closest thing to Woodstock.
In the middle of the day.
It's like an acidic trip.
There's always a little bit of heaven in disaster area.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Genesis on the Last Domino Tour, making only one stop in New England at TD Garden on December 15th. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at noon. Ticketmaster.com is where you go for that. Caller 10 right now. We're hooking you up with a pair of tickets to see Genesis December 15th at the Garden.
It's very nice. Said yesterday I would go, and I retracted that. I'm not going to go. Would have gone with the listener, but Hardy said, don't go. You won't like it.
I believe Beatle told you not to go.
He kind of both tagged.
No, I just said he wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
I like this song. They won't play this song? They got to play this song.
They got a deep catalog. They can't play it.
I know. That's a problem when you make too many songs. Don't do too many songs.
I'm looking at the setlist.fm stats on Genesis.
Yes.
Like this song, Tonight, is their 30th most played song. It's 30th on the list.
Where's Paper Late?
One. That's got to be one.
It's got to be lower.
That's got to be lower than 30. Especially with the horn section. They travel with horns. And they just do that on a keyboard. Do they just ignore it?
Now, audio tune it.
It's ranked 110 on the list of most frequently played in concerts.
Well, I'm not going there.
They've played it a total of 5 times it's been recorded, of a total of 1,500 set lists over the years from Genesis on the site.
And they played Paper Late 5 times?
5 times.
That's a unicorn.
Yep. It's down the list. I'm telling you, they have a. They go into the deep stuff. Man.
Hell, they think they are.
Number one is drum duet. I mean, that's what it's listed as. I told you where they just all of a sudden will sit there and bang on drums.
That'd be pretty cool.
For 15 minutes. Los Endos is number two. What is that? Do we know that track?
It's a misprint. That's Los Lobos.
Yeah.
They play with them a lot.
I like them.
You know what we did last night as we were making our Cinco de Mayo meal? Super Blonde Blonde started playing Gypsy Kings. I'm like, this is like playing Mannheim Steamroller at Christmas. Turn this off. And we shuffled Los Lobos instead. That was some good preparing the Cinco de Mayo meal music.
Oh boy.
A lot of stuff from the La Bamba soundtrack.
What'd you have?
We did a big chunk of sirloin that we marinated and grilled, and then I sliced it real thin and did the same thing with some marinated chicken, and we had, you know, tacos and guac and, you know, burritos and just assemble your own. Did the onions and peppers that you put that on there. It's kind of like a fajita burrito taco like
nice
thing. That's good. It's real good.
Cheeseburger hot dog night for us.
Oh, that's all like, it was. I remember last year when you went to a local dining establishment for takeout.
Yeah, Chili's.
I wasn't going to say it because
national
you were so,
incident.
You were so incredibly rude.
They fixed
to them.
It. They fixed it.
I'd fix it by banning you. So I'd fix it.
Ooh. Yep.
Can't go to Chili's. Won't have a cold beer.
Here you go, Hardy. You're guaranteed to hear this song.
I love Chili's.
I do too. I like it when they bring
is
out
this,
the sizzling
is this
fajita.
Los Lobos?
Los Endos.
You know what? You know what? Chili's. I don't know if I haven't been in a while, so I don't know if they still have it. The tableside guac. They bring
at
that
Chili's.
Yeah, and they mix it up in front of you.
They make it in front of you at Chili's.
Yep. with the avocado in, with the red onions, the cilantro, squirt of lime, sea salt, and they mix it up. And
nice.
I don't know if they still do that. They did it prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, COVID. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, COVID.
When does this end, Os?
Right? This is, I'd walk out on this. This is like, that's when I walked out on Dave Matthews. His little mandolin thing he going on. Ugh. Did he play the mini guitar?
I'm looking at one of their last shows in, here in the States at the Hollywood Bowl in L.A.
Genesis?
2007.
Yeah.
They did have, they played Tonight. That was in there. Invisible Touch was the ender.
That's a good one.
How many encores? Does it list where they stop for the encores?
It says no encore was performed on this date due to rain.
Mm.
Due to rain? What, you played an entire show, but the encore can't happen because of rain?
Yeah, you're there.
The encore the next night at the Hollywood Bowl was I Can't Dance. That was a hit. And the Carpet Crawlers.
I Can't Dance. Is that the one where they had the video?
I can't dance. Everybody knows that the way that I walk.
A stupid video that was. Look at these ugly guys just walking around.
But Los Endos was in there both nights. That's a big one on tour for them.
They love it.
They play that one all the time. Right before, that was the drum duet that they played.
Mm. T-Bone, can you play Los Lobos coming back from the headlines at the top? And put in a request now? You
can make that happen.
Thanks. Anything. Dealer's choice.
We're really selling the Genesis concert, though, aren't we?
We are.
It's not really a great ticket.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
No, I mean...
That's
going to sell out in a matter of minutes.
Oh, of course it would. People are trying to...
I always like when they advertise the concerts like it's... Well, listen, we're appreciative, but that one's going to sell out. That's not one you're going to have to worry about. There are some others that we do giveaways for that, okay, it's going to take a little work to sell that one out. Genesis will sell out in 2 minutes.
Think Dickie Barrett's birthday party.
Oh, this is a good song.
This one they play pretty frequently. I assume that Phil's going to be sitting on a stool again. He can't stand up anymore.
I thought you said it was like a king's chair.
He was on like a bar height stool.
Oh, okay.
Like sort of a swivel bar stool.
I like that.
Can't dance.
Oh, Jesus.
No dancing for Phil anymore.
That's something I would say. You know what I mean?
The song takes on a whole new meaning, though, when he sings it now. He literally can't dance.
I'm not saying that.
He's also, I believe, deaf in one ear. He's a hard time hearing.
Guy's a mess.
Oh yeah,
is that why he screams so loud?
I mean, he's got some debilitating problems, and he's battling through them to do the show.
Didn't he go through a messy? He did go through a messy divorce.
Yeah, he still sounds good though. Gonna give it to him. Still sounds good. Can still do it.
Probably still play the drums as long as he's sitting up.
He can't. Can't grip the sticks.
What?
At the end, when he was still playing the drums, he was taping the drumsticks to his hands.
Go Breaking Away style. Just tape your feet to the pedals.
Can't do it. His kid plays drums for him now.
Just go outside. Pick up pine branches and stuff. You get tar all over your hands.
The kid's really good.
Drumsticks never leave. It's like Chevy Chase turning a page in Christmas Vacation. Do all this paper sticking to my hands and stuff. Yeah.
Ruin the magazine.
It's off my hands.
All right. Hardy has headlines and then Los Lobos for your enjoyment.
Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.